Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Well, good morning, church. I'm so excited to be here today. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things to do in life is to stand up on this stage and teach. Pastor Dave, your shoes are big. So today we are continuing in our series called True Stories. Me and Pastor Lanre, I'm so pumped about this. We are talking about Moses, and our message is called Moses and His Winning Hands. This is gonna be a fun one. Before we jump in, I do wanna say thank you to Pastor Dave and Sheree for this opportunity. I know they're out there enjoying themselves right now, but it's an honor to be up here today. I'm super pumped. I am obviously excited to talk about Moses. He's one of my superheroes in the Bible. And I get to share this message with Pastor Lanre, who's pretty much also one of my superheroes. But I do want to share something. Many of you may not know me, and I haven't had a chance to meet all of you yet, but my name is James, and I'm the creative arts pastor here at LifeLink Church. And I want to take a second to thank some other people in this room. And I want to take a second. The camera guys are probably going to freak out, but it's okay. I want to thank the tech team. I want to thank the band. Why am I getting emotional? You guys are killing it. And I know we've been through a hard season getting here, but this team has been faithful. And so I just want to take a second to celebrate you guys. Everyone at home, would you just lift up your hands and celebrate this team for me? I'm so thankful for all of you. And it takes a large team to put together these weekend services and experiences. And it's so incredible how everyone is called and purposed to be in their spots, whether it's on the stage, in the band, behind the scenes, you never see people on cameras or running computers or doing all that stuff. It's a lot. And so I want to thank you. It means a lot. And it ties into what we're talking about today, which is really important. Before we jump in, I want to pray. And then we're going to jump into this word today. So Jesus, help. We just come to you today. We lay it all at your feet. Despite what the season is right now, what we're going through as a society, as a nation, dear God, we lay it at your feet today. I pray, dear God, that you help the words that we share come through and resonate with the church family. It's a big deal what we're talking about today. So we're going to jump in. Jesus, just take the wheel. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're talking about Moses and his winning hands. I'm super excited. We're continuing our series, True Stories. And I do want to pause because when we talk about Bible stories, I know we read our girls every night a Bible story out of the Bible, their little kid Bible. And it can seem like these stories in the Bible are fairy tales or made up or whatever it might be. But there's power in these stories. These are real events that happened and took place. And sometimes we can glaze over them. Maybe we got our coffee in the morning, we're reading our Bible, and we're reading these stories, and we miss the implications of what was actually happening. So today we're going to dive into something, and I want to be intentional with making sure we understand the gravity of who Moses was and the story we're going to unpack. Like I said before, the idea of the team that takes to put together this weekend service parallels what we're going to talk about today. This weekend, I might be up here teaching, doing this. Hi. You may see me back there MDing and playing guitar. Who knows? I could be on a camera or doing a whole bunch of other things around here. It's important to understand the picture of the ecclesia. And this is a biblical word for basically church fam. We're the church fam, right? We're the set apart ones. Jesus talks about the human body being made up of multiple parts, coming together to create this church family. And so it's so important to see that. And so this morning we're gonna talk through Moses. If you would turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17, I'll give you a second to turn there. If you wanna know where that is in the Bible, it's about that far. It's right near the front. Out there in camera land, I don't know what we call this, live stream land. If you have your paper Bible, you got up this morning, you brought it to your living room, you're sitting on the couch with your paper Bible, the spiritual type, I want you to go ahead in the stream, like type your favorite emoji in there, be like, yeah, I got my Bible with me, my real paper Bible. You know what I'm saying? I think paper Bibles are cool. So that's just me. Today we're gonna talk about Moses and the implications of what it means to be the church family, the ecclesia. So if you don't know who Moses is, which I'm sure most people do, I thought I would give you just some pointers, some highlights of who he was. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, but Pharaoh was not his dad. Dun, dun, dun. Drama, right? At one time, he got real salty with a guy and he straight up killed him. So he's a murderer. Yep, we went there. And naturally, what he decided to do was run away and become a farmer. Because that's what you would do, right? He also saw a really small brush fire one time and he said, yeah, it was lit. That's right. Moses was a millennial. That's right. He got lost in the desert too with a bunch of people. They were super mad at him. Yeah, so that's Moses. Some highlights of Moses' life. You're going, what? I'm sure my mom at home is going, what Bible does he read? Right? Super funny, super casual, but it paints a picture that I'm hoping to unpack today. And that's, if we read about Moses and look at this passage from scripture from 10,000 feet, we read it, we look down at it, we see all the amazing things that Moses did, I feel like we miss the opportunity to see it through his eyes. Moses was an everyday, ordinary man, like me, like you. He made mistakes. In fact, he made some horrible mistakes, but he was appointed and anointed by God to do something powerful. He was anointed and appointed by God to do something powerful. This everyday, ordinary man who walked through life experiencing God in his everyday life. And I think it's so important that we position ourselves to see it this way, because I wanna unpack this through the lens of an everyday person. If you turn your Bibles to verse 8. Verse 8 says this. Amalek came and fought Israel at some place. Moses ordered Joshua, select some men for us to go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow, I will take my stand on top of the mountain holding God's staff. Good? Verse 10, Joshua did what Moses ordered in order to fight Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, we're gonna talk about these guys, went to the top of the hill. It turned out that whenever Moses raised his hands, Israel was winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek was winning. But Moses' hands got tired, naturally. So they got a stone and set it under him. He sat on it, Aaron and Hur held up his hands. So you catch that picture. So we're Moses, arms up, two dudes holding his arms up. Joshua's on the battle lines, winning this war. Every time Moses' hands are up, they win. He drops his hands, they lose. Important, okay? So his hands remained steady until sun went down. It's a long time. Joshua defeated Amalek and its army in battle. Verse 14, God said to Moses, write this up as a reminder to Joshua to keep it before him, because I will most certainly wipe the very memory of Amalek off the face of the earth. Let's go. Moses built an altar and named it God is my banner. Important passage in the Bible. Again, if we see this through the lens of, that's cool, Moses is an amazing guy. And if Moses asked me to go into battle, of course I would. Moses is amazing. Anything he says goes. But to these men in this story, to Moses, this could have been absolutely wild. Holding a guy's arms up is what made them win a battle? Like, just think about that. They're looking at Moses and they see his mistakes. They see who he was. They understand what they have been through with him. And yet they saw and obeyed the anointing and calling on his life, and they won. I think this is so important because we talk about this picture of the ecclesia, this spot, this family, this body of Christ, where everything fits in place, and when it's in place, it works well. And I think about these men in that situation. Picture her, which, why would you ever name someone that? Her. If he thought to himself, you know what, Joshua, he's a good guy, but I'm better with a sword. So I'm going to go down there and I'm going to teach him how to fight. And he let Moses' hand down. What would have happened? Everybody would have lost. Not just Moses, not just her. Everybody would have lost. If Joshua, who's on the front line fighting, and he said, man, I'm scared. This is too much. What if I die? What if I lose my life? You know what, Moses? I'm out. Everyone would have lost. If Aaron is holding up Moses' arm and says, you know what? There's a guy back in Egypt. I think I'd rather be holding his arms up. And he dipped. Guess what would have happened? Everybody would have lost. There's an implication to leaving the post. These men understood the appointing and anointing they had on the positions that were given to them. Not glamorous positions. Holding a man's arm up all day and all night. But they did it because they understood what God was doing through Moses in that time. Now, I know I'm sure I'm talking to a large church family, a whole bunch of people that are listening to this and going, okay, like what does that mean for me? I know we've all been through seasons where we're afraid. Maybe we've done some stuff. We've even felt we're called to do something. And it's like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm good enough to do that. That's a little bit scary, James. I don't know if I'm up for that. Maybe there's some situations where it's like, you know what? I could do that better than him. I think I could do a better job at that. So let me just like sneak my way in and make it known that like, hey, I'm more qualified for this. I've got more experience doing this. I think you should have me doing that instead. Maybe you think it's not important. Nah, not worth my time. Not worth the effort. Not worth the hours. Not worth it. Maybe it's, that didn't go the way I wanted it to, so I'm gonna go somewhere else and try it. These are the implications of not understanding the gravity of the ecclesia. And so before I give it off to Pastor Lonnery to come up here and land this and apply this to our lives, I just want to take a second and really put this in front of us today and ask the question, what have I been asked to do? What have you been asked to do? In this room, I mean, there's our tech team banner in here. What have we been asked to do? Maybe tonight it was play drums or run a camera. But when's the last time we sat with God and said, God, what have you appointed me to do in the house of God? What's my spot in the ecclesia? Such a powerful question. I don't know if we necessarily ask ourselves that very often or if we take check of that very often, but it's very important. If you can't answer that question, this is the day for you to answer that question. Pastor Lonnery is going to give us some pointers, and I think it's important that we answer that question. We maybe start answering that question. Maybe you don't know, and you're like, yeah, I want to know. Maybe you do know the answer, and you're afraid to step into it. Let's tackle that today. Amen? Well, hey, I don't want to take all the time. Pastor Lonnery is one of my heroes, and he's going to slay this house down. So would you help me celebrate Pastor Lonnery as he comes out here today to finish this message?
Hello. Good morning, Lifelink Church, and good morning, everyone watching. God bless you. Well, let's put our hands together for Pastor James. That was awesome. He's a good man. He's a great guy. And I love what he said about the ecclesia, the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and there is no useless part of the body. I can't say that the head cannot say that it's more important than the leg. The arm cannot say they're more important than the liver. Every part of the body is important. I can still remember one of my fondest memories of when I first joined this awesome church. It was about 12 years ago, when we were still in the elementary school. I remember there'll be people like tearing down and setting up. But then in the far corner of the school, there used to be this ladies praying. a few ladies and a few senior citizens, but they were all ladies. They used to pray in the corner. Mama Elva, Mama Florence, currently in Canada. I remember Miss Diane and a few others. They used to pray in that corner. When I joined the church, I love to pray. So I asked where are the prayer people, and they told me where they used to be. So I was like, okay, I'll go and join them. That was the prayer engine of the church. So the people that were setting up and tearing down, they were very important. So also the people at the corner praying, these old, let me not say old ladies, these very senior citizens praying in the corner were very, very important also. And I remember when I joined them, I come from a background of militant prayer. You know, we pray loud and we pray strong. And I remember joining them and everybody was sitting down and they were very calm and they would pray and they would speak in tongues and they would have prophecies. And I'll be like looking at them like, when are we going to get up and, you know, like pray and cast out devils and all that? But what I didn't know was that they were very effective in what they were doing. Those ladies, up till today, they taught me how to pray differently. It's not always by shouting. It's not always by screaming. Somebody say amen. So we cannot fit God in a box. We can't fit God in your kind of box or in my kind of box. I'm going to read to us 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verses 4 through 11. Listen to this. Bible says, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person, somebody say each person, is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. Bible says the variety is wonderful. So I don't want to be like you, because if I try to be like you, the best I can be is a carbon copy of you. Pastor James knows how to play the guitar very well. I don't have any idea how to play the guitar, but I know how to pray and I know how to teach the word of God. Bible says the variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous act, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of these gifts have a common origin, but they are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what. And when? What does that mean? You compliment me. We're still the body of Christ. You compliment me. We're the body of Christ. My toe is not competing with my eyes. My toe is complimenting my eyes. We are still part of the same body. Somebody say amen. You compliment me. I remember a couple of years ago, I had something called a trigger finger on my hand, and I had to have surgery to fix it. And it was just one finger, but it affected my whole life. It was just one finger on my left hand, but I could almost literally do nothing. It was difficult for me to sleep. It was difficult to work, because anything that touches it just sends like shivers down my whole body. Just one finger. And it was like I was losing my victory. I was losing my battle. I was losing my functionality just because of one dysfunctional finger. So if one damaged finger can lead to a dysfunctional body, can you imagine what will happen if every part of the body is working well? That means we're going to have a winning body. That means we're going to have a victorious body. And if we go back to the story that Pastor James clearly and wonderfully read to us, Exodus chapter 17. I know we read it once. Reading it once is good. We can read it a second time, make it gooder. I know that's not in the dictionary. Sorry, Pastor Dave. I'll correct that next time. So Exodus chapter 17 again. You read it from verse 8 in the Message translation. And we're going to explore this story again. It was about Moses, and that's what we're talking about today. Moses learned a lot of things, and we've all known about this. Moses was in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And then they had to face the Amalekites. Bible says from verse 8, Amalek came and fought Israel at Rephidim. Moses ordered Joshua, select some of your men for us and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will make my stand on top of the hill holding God's staff. That sounds like a ridiculous instruction to me. I mean, Moses, you're very smart, like Pastor Jim said. How can you say, I'm going to stand? Can you imagine? Maybe there is a sudden kind of fight breaking down in downtown Gilbert. And Pastor Dave says, well, Pastor Larry, you, Pastor James, and Pastor Chris, you take my car and go down to Gilbert and go and fight the battle. I will stay in the high rise of the Hilton, and I will be praying for you guys. That's what it sounded like. And so Moses said, but the thing was that Moses had been with God for so long that he knew what God said. This was God's clear instruction to him. And he said, I'm just going to do what God said. It's not every time that you have to do what makes sense to you. There is normal physical instruction, but there are sometimes that God gives you some spiritual strategy that makes no sense. That's why the scripture talks about we walk by faith and not by sight. Because there are sometimes there's just something just does not make sense. But I would say, God said, go on top of the mountain, send Joshua in to fight with 5,000-6,000 people. Makes no sense. But that's God's instruction. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? So that's God's recipe for success. God said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. So Joshua did what Moses ordered in order to fight the Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went on top of the hill. We know the rest of the story. It turned out that whenever Moses raised his hands, that there is a reason why I'm reading the scripture again. We want to talk about some winning hands here. Moses raised his hands, a very functional hand. Moses raised his hands, Israel was winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, Amalek was winning. But Moses' hands got tired. So they got a stone and set it under him. He sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands again. Something about hands. One on each side. So his hands remained steady until the sun went down. Joshua defeated the Amalekites and the army in battle. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. See, here we see. We see a story with three main characters, but we see a multitude of hands being talked about. Moses was told to do something that made no sense, but he followed the instruction of the Almighty God. Remember, today we're talking about Moses and some winning hands. There are some things that we as children of God, that the part of the body of Christ, that we want to bring out in this story, that we need to have. And as I go through this three set of hands, begin to picture yourself that which part of this one am I? What kind of hands do I have? What kind of hands do I have that I may be able to contribute to this body, that I may be able to contribute to the ecclesia? Number one, raised and sincere hands. Raised and sincere hands. And this was Moses. Moses had raised and sincere hands. This is when you go to a place of higher spiritual authority. Now, depending on your function in the body of Christ, some people, that's what their function is. Moses just went there with raised and sincere hands. All he had to do was to stand there, obeying the voice of the Almighty and praying for the children of God. Bible said as long as he had raised and sincere hands, the battle was been won. The battle has been won. Not everybody can have raised and sincere hands in the body. If you read the story carefully, when he was going to go up the mountain, only two people were able to go with him. But he had raised a sincere hand. That was Moses. If you notice this, this is another message entirely. Moses did not even take Joshua with him. Joshua succeeded Moses, but when Moses was going to go up the mountain, he did not take his successor with him. Joshua needed to be in his own right place. What is your place in the body? Joshua's place at that time was not to be beside Moses. It was to be in battle, fighting, and fighting for victory for the children of Israel. Raised and sincere hands. Number two, ready and steady hands. Ready and steady hands. Who was this one? It was Joshua. Joshua had ready and steady hands. He was the one that was fighting battle. He was the one that was that was in battle for the children of Israel. Most of us are Joshuas of our days. God still needs our talents. God still needs our giftings. God still needs our anointings. You say, oh, but Pastor Larry, the doors of the church are closed. No! No matter where you find yourself, God can still use you. God will use you if you allow him to do it. You can still lay hands on people on your job. You can still speak life into people around you. You can have a ready and steady hand. We've been inside church for so long. This has been our huddle zone. But now we're playing outside there in the world. You can still have a ready and steady hand. A ready and steady hand. We don't have to wait until we come back to church before you begin to function. You can function outside there. A ready and steady hand. And the third one we see in the story was rugged and sure hands. Somebody had a rugged and sure hands. And this was Aaron and Hur. Bible said that Aaron and Hur went up with Moses into the mountains. They were the support systems for Moses. They were the burden bearers for Moses. They noticed that Moses' hand was getting weak. They noticed that he was getting tired. They noticed that the one chosen by God was getting tired. They noticed that the one sent by God to deliver the Israelites was getting tired. And they said, we will hold your hand steady. They will hold your hand steady. As God called you to be a burden bearer for your pastor. If you're listening out there, you're part of LifeLink Church, maybe. Or you're part of another church. As God called you to be a burden bearer for your pastor. Nobody told me to say this, but our pastor is currently on sabbatical. And Pastor James and I, we're sharing this together while we're putting this message together. And we're talking about the fact that, see, daddy's out of town, mommy's out of town. But that does not mean that the work of the Lord has to stop. It doesn't mean that the work of the Lord has to stop. It is in our hands to make sure that this body keeps on being lifted. This work keeps being lifted up. Bible said they kept his hand steady because they understand that the victory is not just dependent on Moses being on the mountain, but the victory is dependent on his hands being raised. If the victory is not just dependent on his mom, Moses being sincere, knowing that he needs to be where he's supposed to be, but the victory depends on his hands being raised. So they said, we'll be your burden bearers. We'll be your burden bearers. And as I was thinking about it this evening when I was coming to church, and I thought of it, how can we be support system for our pastors? I know they're not here. They didn't tell me to say this, but I jot down three things. There were seven of them that I actually wrote down, but I'll just tell you three of them. How can we keep the hands of our pastor to be steady in this time and in this dispensation that we're in? Number one, know what's on their heart. What does that mean? Ask if you're not sure. Gossiping is not the solution. Know what's on their heart. Refrain from gossiping. Know what's on their heart. How can I keep the hands of my pastors from being steady? Number two, provide them with strength. And what does that mean? Spiritual strength. Pray for your pastors. said, but they're the pastors. No, you ought to pray for your man and woman of God too. Pray for your pastors. Provide them spiritual strength. Provide them of your own substance if you have it. Because that's what the Bible said we should do. Somebody say amen. Provide them with strength, number two. Number three, allow them their privacy. Allow them their privacy. Allow them their family time. Okay, now we said, okay, they've gone on sabbatical. This is not the time to text. Like I said, nobody told me to say this. I'll be getting in trouble for it. Got fired tomorrow, but God is good. But so we have what? Moses had raised and sincere hands, ready and steady hand with Joshua. Aaron and Hur had rugged and sure hands. How do we get victory? That is the equation. If our hands are, somebody has a raised hand, somebody has a ready hand, somebody has a rugged hand, that's where we have the winning hands. That's how we get the victory. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So Lifelink Church is in your hands. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. I remember scripture. Bible says in, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 20. It may not, it's not in the scripture that I gave to them. Bible says, you are my battle axe and my weapon of war. That's what God has called us to be. He said, we are his battle axe. We are his weapon of war. That's what God has called all of us to be. So Lifelink Church, my challenge to us today, as I try to close, is this. Number one, if you're already part of the body, you're already part of the body, you're in sync with what's going on, don't be dislodged. Don't be dislodged. Keep connected. Stay connected. Say, but there is no church service every Sunday. Draw tractics coming up very soon. Stay connected. Don't be dislodged. That's my challenge to you. Don't be dislodged. Stay connected. The devil is seeking for who he may devour. Stay connected. Stay connected. Tell your neighbor, they say, tell them, stay connected. Stay connected. Don't stray away. Stay connected. Stay connected too. Maybe you're there, you'll be like, well, I feel in disarray. My heart is just in turmoil. All this thing that's been happening, I don't even know what to do. Dig deep. Dig deep. Dig deep until you can find where you fit. Dig deep until you can find where you fit. Dig deep until you can find where you fit. Like I said, growth track is going to come up shortly. If that's where you want to start, come on, dig deep until you can find where you fit. You're not sure where to start? Call one of the pastors. Call me. Call one of the staff pastors in church. Dig deep until you can find where you fit. In this day and in this age, there are too many things going on the outside there to be a one that will stray away. We need to be the ecclesia. We need to be the body of Christ. We need to stay together. We need to stay together. We need to stay together. And as even as I close, maybe you're here tonight, this morning, and you said, well, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start. Well, I'm happy you say that. No matter where you are, whether you're in your living room or your kitchen, Jesus is right here where you are. And he's ready to meet with you where you are. And to change your life. So with every head bowed, with every eyes closed, I'm going to pray first. And then I'm going to give you words to say to bring forth a total turnaround in your life from tonight. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's gone forth. We thank you for a change in our lives. We thank you for who you have made us to be. That you have made us your battle axe, and you have made us your weapon of war. Even as we go out there to do what you have called us to do, we declare, oh God, that we'll not lose out on that which you're doing in this day and in this age, in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're giving your life to Christ for the first time, just say these words after me. Declare, say, Jesus, I come to you today just as I am, a sinner. And I declare today that I'm no longer for the devil and all of his works, but I've chosen to come to you. I say I repent of every sin and ask you to come into my life, to stay and live in my heart, that from today onwards, I will live for you. I've chosen to live for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No turning back. No turning back. In Jesus' name I pray. I am for Jesus forever and ever. Amen and amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.